Galactic Interstellar Council on Revolution Radio Studio A, Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we traverse the starseed paradigm. As expressed in the time-space continuum that we know as the divine expression of love and light. Integrating this conscious unity into the galactic paradigm. So welcome all, both terrestrial beings and galactic beings as one. So be it. You're listening to Revolution Radio.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of whose program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
This is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal, where I'm delighted to be joined today by someone I admire greatly, an independent journalist, Sarah Westall's here. We're going to talk about the experiences, the consequences she's endured, the repercussions from her exposés of the truth in various contexts. But I wanted to begin talking about two different forms of stupidity, one of which has to do with the Western sanctions on Russia, where the Daily Mail has just published a big piece about it, and the other has to do with Tucker Carlson's revelations about how the January 6th committee cherry-picked its evidence and sought to deceive the public and thought it would get away with it. Here, begin with the Daily Mail. Are sanctions really wrecking life in Russia? As British supermarkets ration eggs and vegetables, thanks in part to Putin's war in Ukraine. Shelves in a provincial Russian city are groaning under piles of fresh food. These revealing photographs show shop shelves in a provincial Russian city groaning under piles of fresh food. As British supermarkets ration eggs and an array of fruits and vegetables amid shortages provoked in large part by the Ukraine war, no such hardships afflict Vladimir Putin's citizens. These pictures were taken at a food hall, two superstores, and a corner shop in Perm, a city with a population the size of Birmingham in the Ural Mountains, a 24-hour drive from Moscow. The images suggest the West's much-vaunted sanctions on Russia imposed to punish President Putin for his invasion are not having a deep bite. What's more, the scenes are a reversal of 40 years ago when many of us watched pitiful TV footage of Russia under the communist regime, queuing for staples such as bread and eggs. Now it's Britain's turn to suffer. Supermarkets here are rationing tomatoes, cucumbers, peppers, lettuce as UK farmers struggle with higher energy costs to stop them from using hothouses in the winter to grow them. Soft fruit, including raspberries, are also hard to find. Sarah, it seemed to me from the beginning that these sanctions on Russia were not going to have their intended effect. And of course, like those, constraining Europe from access to cheap gas, not to mention the destruction of the Nord Stream pipeline, Europe is paying the price for this. And the ruble is at its strongest. Russia economy is thriving. BRICS is moving full forward instead of having a massive economic powerhouse because of collaboration between Russia and Germany, especially. Russia is turning to China. The world is pivoting economically, and the consequences are going to be enormous, including the descent of the petrodollar and a dramatic diminution in the quality of life right here in the USA. What say you?
Well, it doesn't have to be if we wouldn't spend all of the money we do have on a stupid war instead of negotiating up front and not acting the way that we have over the years. It's mind-boggling that there's supposedly so many of these educated people, professors everywhere that support this nonsense. And it really makes you question what we've watched over the last 3 years, all these university professors and academics and all this stuff doing the dumbest things and really supporting things that are the opposite of what they say. You start to wonder what's wrong with our institutions when you start seeing that, because it's obvious what you laid out. It's obvious the opposite is happening. Everything they said and what they're trying to do, the opposite is what's occurring. So are they that ignorant, or are they doing it on purpose, or what? Because I tend to want to respect them, I want to respect that they really do know something. So that's where you come to the, well, maybe they're doing it on purpose. If they aren't doing it on purpose, then what is it? Then it that says that they're not that bright, or there's something wrong with their clarity of thinking. So I don't know. I guess it's probably a combination of all of the above.
Well, my opinion would be, and if you look at our southern border, I don't see how the evidence could be more powerful than what we find there. I mean, opening our borders to allow potentially millions, and I believe the goal, sir, is to bring in 100 million migrants into the United States to permanently change the demographics. In my opinion, this is the greatest threat to the national security of the United States in my lifetime. It's far more threatening than any foreign war. And the idea that the Biden administration has simply opened a spigot and is allowing these masses to pour over our border, aided and abetted by the government, given all kinds of benefits, not even subjected to health screening, to me it's outrageous and overwhelming evidence of a deliberate attempt to destroy America.
It's a destroying our way of life and our culture and not having respect. And I think that a lot of them believe that there's elements of our culture that are bad. But if we respect everybody's else's culture, why can't our culture have that same level of respect? I mean, where's the respect for us? Everybody gets respected except us. So we don't have a right to have our traditions and our culture. That's what they're taking away from us. But beyond that, it's more dangerous than that. I mean, they're supporting government-funded human trafficking. I mean, I've had whistleblowers on my show. There's so much wrong with what's going on right now that you just want. I mean, it's treason is the right word for it. And, there's a lot of ignorant, brainwashed people that are supporting them. And the media is they call it the whore media, because it is. They are supporting all this stuff. And I do think that the average American is waking up, I think, that to what's really happening on the left and the right. I mean, you were a Democrat, weren't you, most of your life? And you've woken up. And I always thought I was kind of in the middle. I think that we have a group of very brainwashed people who can't see past. It's a cult kind of thing, with them being controlled by people who are bent on destroying this country. And I do think that they want to move the power base to the east. I think there's elements, though, that are fighting that, and that's maybe what we're seeing, and they're stupid. I mean, I don't know. Maybe they're protecting, they think they're protecting their own assets. Maybe they're stealing everything they can from the United States while the United States still has some assets to steal. I mean, that comes to mind.
It sure just dumbfounds me that anyone has any doubts about whether or not the election in 2020 was stolen. I mean, as we work our way around to January 6th, I mean, that was a protest against the theft of the election, which was manipulated by the Democrats to be used as a smear against Trump and his supporters. I mean, the evidence is becoming so massive, so overwhelming. I believe this is going to turn out to be a pivotal moment, a turning point in the awareness of the American people to how much they've been played by the Democrat Party on the one hand and by the mainstream media on the other. Where Tucker is just doing something quite important here, I think profound, to expose the sham of the January 6th committee.
Well, I part of me says this is really great. The other part of me says, why do we need someone like Tucker to bless it when it was out there and so many people are talking about it? The thing that he was able to bless that the others, the independent media, couldn't, is McCarthy gave him that videotapes that no one else has access to. And it gets back to the Twitter files, too, where they handpick certain journalists to go through and cherry-pick what the public can see. It's not disclosure. It's not the journalists at large can't look through it. It's just one person, or it's a controlled release of the information. And so on one hand, I'm very thankful for it because it's really important, just like the Twitter files are very important. On the other hand, I sorry for being skeptical, but when it's handpicked and controlled, there's something wrong with that.
Well, it's all coming out. There's no doubt it's all going to be released to the public. And I think,
I hope so.
Oh, Sarah, I'm very confident that is going to be how it's going to play out. Just as
it has to. Otherwise, I think it'll really undermine the trust.
Just as a point of about scientific reasoning and actually rationality in general, scientific reasoning must be based on all the available relevant evidence. You're not allowed to pick and choose the evidence. That's how you can fudge the results. We saw that with regard to the vax. Pfizer and Moderna have fudged their results. They've concealed the information the public needs to know to recognize the threat posed by the vax. The whole pandemic, of course, appears to have been a fabricated event where one year we have 38 million cases of the flu, the next year 2,000, but now supplemented by 37,998,000 cases of COVID, where they merely relabeled flu as COVID. Edward Henry and John Rappaport have been very, very good about exposing this aspect. In order to create a stampede effect to go for the vax, which turned out to be deadly lethal, I mean, absolutely horrific. And Sarah, you know, the idea that our medical safety network, the CDC, the FDA, NIH, and all that have failed us is just calamitous.
It's just incredible. And so you wonder, are they this incompetent? I think it's a combination of things, right? You're just like, wow, it's almost amazing they're this incompetent. On top of the brainwashing, on top of people who weren't incompetent, there were plenty of people who were very sure about what they were doing who weren't incompetent that were implementing an agenda. That is what we have to get on the bottom of, into it. The people who were just this incompetent, that has to be exposed too. I mean, if you're that incompetent, then we have a problem here. Or is it fear? I mean, we have to get to the bottom of these things. Is it fear? Is it psychological brainwashing? You know, psyops? What is it that caused this mass-oriented situation where they were supporting something that's this awful for society? I don't, you know, there's a tape, I have a whistleblower who's a public health officer for in California. I talked to him quite a bit. He hasn't come forward publicly yet. He's working with Tom Rentz and people, and he has a tape of them saying that they know the vaccine is killing Hispanics, indigenous people, blacks, and other people of color at twice the rate of whites. What do you think that would do if the public actually knew this is what they were, the health authorities said and admitted to? That kind of stuff, people need to know.
That's very interesting, because my presumption has been actually whites are primarily the target of the vax, that they want to get rid of the whites. I mean, it's bizarre what's going on here, Sarah, and the idea that you could have a government, and there are even indications that the Department of Defense may have been involved in developing the vax and promoting the whole business. Could be out to murder massive numbers of our own citizens. I mean, that just boggles the mind.
It's unbelievable that they declared war on our own citizens. You know, like I said in a video that I did, I said, when people are wanting to kill you and your family and take away your freedom, you can't stand down. You have to fight this. You have to share what the truth is, and you have to get courage. I know that people are in jobs that, you know, they need to support their family and their mortgage, and these people are powerful, but it doesn't mean that you stand down. You do what you can, where you can, and know that just even sharing information is important.
Yeah, yes, yes, yes.
So, that was something that I said just recently in a video that I think that what makes people feel uncomfortable when you talk about it that directly. But that is the truth. I mean, that's what you're just saying right now. And people need to understand this is what we're dealing with.
Well, you know what they say, a grand jury could indict a ham sandwich. I think with the rigged voting machines, you could elect a complete moron as president. And that's what we have done. We got a guy who's totally incompetent, Sarah. Now, you know, anyone who thinks that the American people wanted Joe Biden and Kamala Harris to be president and vice president of the United States really has detached themselves from reality.
They really have. But I know people who think that that he was elected for real because the mass media tells them this is the most safe and secure election we've ever had. So it's just, you know, it's just kind of strange, all these people complaining about election fraud. I even read something the other day that this is the part of the PSYOP, that this congresswoman was a pro-American because they're a patriot, because she's not questioning our democracy and questioning whether the election was fair. That's their PSYOP. And so the people who are questioning the fair election are the ones who are, you know, hurting our democracy, and we're the ones who are unpatriotic. That's what they're brainwashing these people with. It's so absurd. It's the opposite of what it really is. And we kind of get into our own little independent media bubble where it just seems like so obvious. And then you get out there and you talk to these people who actually listen to these guys and listen to the mass media, and they are really skewed in their thinking. And it's because we're so censored and so kept in a bubble that these people actually believe this crap.
I know, it's just stunning. I think the role of the January 6th committee, like a lot of those claims of Russian interference and all that, was just to create a background, a story that could be invoked to explain why Trump would be defeated. You know, I mean, they had to have a story. And if in fact he was inciting an insurrection, you know.
It's so BS. I'm just like you. I can't believe that there's people that actually believe this crap. And so I remember I did a presentation a year ago, not this past False Flags conference, but the one before, where I was just like, okay, how in the world are people still believing it? So that's why the whole thing was about psychological ops and how they do it. How are they doing this to people? And it's they've gotten really good at it and convincing people and brainwashing people to believe these things. And then they create a culture or a tribe. Like, if you go against your tribe, your family, you're going against your family. It's very much like you can say whatever you want about your brother, you know, but if anybody else insults your brother, that makes you mad, even if it's true, right? You won't have nothing to do with it. That's just that's instinctively how we are. We protect our family. And they've played this against them. They've tapped into that psyche, and there's a cult going on. And so that's why they were supporting. I mean, the Democrats were supposed to be not for big pharma, not for big corporations. They were supporting the biggest corporations, the biggest, the most powerful in the world, in lockstep to inject ourselves with something that's going to kill us. It's just incredible what they were able to pull off.
Was that just wonderful to hear you talk about all these things? I mean, so clearly, so convincingly, so sincerely. We're just dealing with liars, phonies, frauds from every direction. There's not a legitimate voice on the major networks today, MSNBC, CNN, nothing but propaganda, even on Fox, I'm sorry to say. There are many fewer sincere voices than I would like. And it's just staggering how much the American public is being played by the Democrats. So that we have now, with Tucker releasing the videos, they're trying to undermine what he's doing and claiming that he's betraying the American people by releasing this evidence, which is...
He's the opposite.
Go ahead.
Right?
Yeah.
I didn't mean to cut you off. I just had to put that in there. It's the opposite.
Exactly. Exactly the opposite. I mean, you got one after another after another. You even got the Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell calling a mistake for Tucker and Fox to release the video. You got, of course, Adam Kissinger is panic-stricken because he's being exposed. We set history straight on the committee, claims Kissinger. Chuck Schumer, who's among the greatest miscreants in Washington, D.C. today, condemning Tucker, calling for Fox and Rupert Murdoch to stop Tucker from releasing more of the January 6th tape. We need it all out there, Sarah. Every damn foot up. Yeah.
We need all of it. And all he did is put out something. We're transparent. They lied. They cherry-picked BS and did a whole... They did a Soviet-style show trial on the American people. And we were sitting there having to endure it. It's unbearable, some of the things they're doing. Like, you're in Wisconsin. I'm still in Minnesota. And I'm still hearing ads to take the flippin' booster. I mean, it's unbearable almost to hear them still put that kind of propaganda out there. It's unbearable to see how much they're lying to the American people because they won't be transparent. You know, Obama always ran on being transparent. We're going to be super transparent. He ushered in a whole new level of not being transparent, which is very sad. They say one thing and then do the opposite thing. And the gullible people, they do it well, though. They do it with sincerity in their voices. And that's why it works. And they tell half-truths with sincerity, and it works. Because people want to believe they're part of something good. They want to be part of something good. Most of these people who are brainwashed and in that cult, if they knew, they wouldn't support it.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think that's right. I think that's right. But this is such a revelation, and it's so embarrassing to the Democrats, and it exposes them as liars, phonies, and frauds. I mean, Tucker, it seemed to me, is doing a real public service here, and I agree completely. We want it all out. We want it all out everywhere. We want everyone to have access to all of it, but this is sure a great beginning, peeling back the fraud, the deception, the mask, the lies. Just disgusting.
I agree. Well, and we need to peel it back in many areas, right? We need that coming. But it takes something. Maybe this will help. I mean, it just cracks upon cracks of peeling back these lies. And I think it will be embarrassing. Like, I had Naomi Wolf on my show, and she said it was embarrassing that the people she aligned herself with are the ones who are doing this. She said it's embarrassing. And I'm sure it is, because the people that you fought beside and you trusted are the ones doing it. And you were duped. You know, they have to come to grips with the fact that they were duped. And they, not only were they duped, a lot of them were participated in the hurting of others. You know, I mean, all the doctors and pharmacists and things that were actually giving people the jab and not reading the studies themselves and believing what they're being told. We trusted them to use their knowledge to look at the data, to understand what was in these things and communicate it properly to people. And they didn't do that. Now they have to come to grips with that.
It's just horrific.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that your government could betray you so severely in matters of life and death. Sarah, it staggers the imagination. You know, I think an awful lot of Americans just can't face up to the reality that could actually be the case when the evidence is simply overwhelming.
Well, and I think that's what happened in Nazi Germany. You've seen Vera Sharif, where she has put out her show. She just did a really good article on why she thinks that, why she's here at this time to show people that how a whole society can be duped into doing something so evil. They're very educated. They were they're a highly educated society that implemented something awful in mass. And she is trying to educate people on how that happened, because that happened here, and it's still happening here. And we need to understand the mechanisms behind that, because those people who implemented this will keep implementing these things if we don't understand it.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back with Sarah Westall after this break.
Radio at freedomslips.com, and we'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey everyone, it's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Amazon banned my book so you wouldn't learn what really happened at Sandy Hook. It was a FEMA drill presented as mass murder to promote gun control. Then they sued to shut me up, and the Wisconsin courts played along. I have the proof and the law on my side. What I don't have is the money. They want to do to us what they've already done to Canada. Take guns, impose tyranny. It's on the way with Remington's help. First insurance, then registration, then confiscation. I'm asking SCOTUS to stop it. GiveSendGo.com, funding Fetzer. Check it out. This is for all the marbles.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Elon Musk has been calling out the January 6th committee, suggesting, you know, this is a massive deception of the American people. He's appropriately describing it as deeply wrong legally and morally. He's got that exactly right. I've been pretty impressed with what Musk has been doing with Twitter, Sarah. I would presume you share my enthusiasm for returning it to the kind of commons it was originally intended to be.
I think he's done that with high-profile people. I don't think he's done that in mass, because I'm not back, and I can't tell you how many times I have asked to come back. And I know a lot of people like me who are not back. So I don't know if it's a lack of resources or if they're just trying to change their marketing image by bringing back people who are high profile to make it appear like what you just said. Because it looks, seems like it, right? You think it. So is it real? And if it is real, then they need to do it for real. They can't just bring back high profile people and leave a lot of other ones, you know, where they're at. I don't know. We'll see. I have a piece that I think I sent you. I know I sent you. You published it on what it's like to be unpersoned in America. And I talk about that. Yeah. I talk about that. I think the fact that they've made that step is great, but they need to do it the full way and not play games with people.
Well, I was restored, and I just presumed so many of us, I would have presumed you had been restored as well. And, you know, I was glad to be back. I was kind of floored when
I'm
I was
surprised you are. That's amazing.
Sir, I was just I was astonished when I was dropped because I had no warning. I was no strikes, no nothing. Just today I'm there and the next day I'm not. I thought it was ridiculous.
Well, it was ridiculous. And I, you know, in my all my pleas, I'm like, what did I do? You know, the guy that took me down was very possibly a pedophile, at least when you look at his, you know, the guy that was in charge of taking everybody offline. When you look at what he posted, it's like, holy cow. Yeah, you don't even have to say much. You just say, read some of his posts, and then it speaks for themselves. And yet all of us, or not you, but a lot of people I know are still not up there on Twitter. What's going on? So I don't know. Maybe they got to you and not to me. I don't know, but I'm going to do a little campaign and see if it makes a difference, but we'll see.
You mentioned Naomi Wolf. I think she's just sensational. I think you've done so much good work over so many years, Sarah. Tell us your experience of being unpersoned or depersonalized or isolated or, you know, banned or shadow banned, or, you know, just lay it on.
Well, I published that article, which you saw and you republished. Well, thank you. Because I think that, I mean, the point of that article was to just show people what it is that we're actually dealing with and how powerful these people really are. And I've been deleted everywhere. And I don't think, I mean, maybe I am extreme, but I don't see myself when I read other things that are extreme, that I think are more extreme. A lot of those places aren't taken down. And I think what they did, and I'll tell you every place I've been taken down, but I think what they did is they really don't want the voices that can really hit people, that can really make a difference. I think that's why your Sandy Hook thing was so targeted. Anytime that people really have some powerful information to share, those are the ones they don't want up there. And I think that's what happened to me. But, I mean, I was taken down everywhere from YouTube. In YouTube, I had 10 videos with PhDs and MDs taken down before my channel was taken down. This was at the beginning of COVID. The only thing that was wrong with them, very highly respected people, only thing that was wrong with them was they didn't agree with the government narrative on COVID. So Google is suddenly, and YouTube is suddenly an authority on who's right and wrong in the scientific world. That's scary, and that's what led, not just mine, but this happened with thousands of people, but mine was 10 specific videos. That is what led to this mass slaughter that we saw with COVID and this vaccine, is because they couldn't, it was a freedom of speech issue. And when one of our founders, wasn't it Washington, that said that you get rid of speech and we're going to be led dumb and silent to the slaughter, and that's what happened. And I saw, so I was taking off YouTube, and that was before the 2020 election. Of course, I was going to talk about the Hunter Biden laptop because it's truth. It happened. So a lot of people who could have affected the election, journalists, independent journalists, we had more viewership than any of the mass media channels combined when we were taken down, just the people in the lawsuit that I was in. That's why they took us down. We had more reach than they did, and so they had to take us down. But I was taking off YouTube. I was taken off. My Patreon account was had 1,800, almost 1,800 patrons, and it was how I supported my family. My husband makes money too, but it was helpful. You know, we paying my daughter's college and my son's college and food. I was taken off Patreon. And what did I do wrong? I don't know. I asked them. They said because of QAnon. I said, I'm not a QAnon person. I don't follow QAnon. I don't report on QAnon. And then they came back, it's because it's related to QAnon. Well, how am I? What does that mean? Well, they wouldn't tell me what that means. But nonetheless, I was taken down. Even though they were found to have child pornography sites on there where they're sharing child pornographic imagery that had over 150,000 followers, subscribers. That's at least $750,000 a month at $5 a month a subscriber. Those people were left up, but I'm taken down. And then Twitter, I was taken off of Twitter the same day Donald Trump was taken down. And then the week later, my website was taken down by GoDaddy. And people they didn't know why it was taken down. It was their federal crimes division. Well, what did I do? You know, what possibly did I do? And you know, you look at all that stuff and think, well, if I committed a federal crime, what about all these mass media companies that we know lied? At least I'm trying to tell the truth. But they took me down, and they didn't tell me why. I never heard why, but it was Federal Crimes Unit of GoDaddy that works with the government. So it was probably the FBI. When the FBI did their Congress, when they said that anybody related to QAnon had, they were going to go after them, which is illegal from them to do that, because it's against, it's their Supreme Court cases where it says when the government comes and tells these companies to do something that's against your free speech, that's them acting as a state actor, and it's against their constitution. There's plenty of case law in that area. But for some reason, I mean, all this stuff has to flush out. So that's part of what I dealt with. I was taken off Spotify. Spotify I forgot to put on in the article that I wrote. I mean, I have more if people want to read that article. I mean, it's just thing after thing after thing. What's important isn't that it happened to me. Maybe to me it is, but it's not about, you know, feeling sorry for myself. It's the fact that this is what's going on, and that there are other journalists who've had their bank accounts shut down. They couldn't pay their bills and their eat or anything because they couldn't get to the money that people owed them. And they never were told why. They just shut them down. And this is what's been going on in our country, and people don't realize the extent of what's going on. That's why, you know, Twitter doing what he's doing is good. It's really good because it's exposing a lot of things. But at the same time, it needs to be equally done across the board. He put out a tweet that said, "Should I allow everyone on who didn't break the law?" And, you know, I think the majority agreed that he should, but there was still like 45% or something that didn't. Like, what is wrong with people that they think that you can just take people down that didn't do anything that's illegal? But I think he should go forward and implement that. If he really means what he says, that's what he should go forward with. I'm surprised you're back up there. That's really kind of cool. I didn't think you would be put up there.
Well, I'm just really surprised you're not back there too, Sarah. I mean, give me a break. You know, you've been at this for so long, and you've showed a lot of integrity as an investigative journalist, and I'm just sorry to say there's so few of that ilk out there. I mean, it's a vanishing species, all but extinct. That's why I'm overjoyed when we have a breakthrough like Tucker putting up actual footage and Kevin McCarthy made it available, and I agree with you. Everyone needs to have it all. The idea that these companies should be arbiters of truth is ridiculous beyond words. I mean, they're not qualified to do that. And besides, it's indispensable to the search for truth that we consider every opinion, every argument, all the possible alternatives, which means we got to let 1,000 flowers bloom. Let everyone publish everything they have to say, unless there's something blatantly illegally or harmful about it, which is very rarely ever the case.
Yeah, and who are we trying to protect? Ourselves? We're all adults. Let's see it all and see if there's child pornography or something in there. Then let's be careful about that stuff that really is harmful. But when it comes to most of these other issues, we should have open debate and dialogue. That's so important for society. It is the cornerstone, foundational element of a sophisticated, a civilized society. Without it, you can't flourish as a society. And we've seen it. That's what's happening.
That's absolutely right. 100% correct. And you cannot conduct a rational investigation unless you have all the relevant evidence available to you. I mean, I mean, they're just snake oil salesmen, used car salesmen. You know, they're trying to convince you because it's got a great stereo and terrific upholstery to overlook that the transmission's shot and it needs a ring job. I mean, this is dirty pool. And the Democrats have become expert at this, Sarah. I mean, I am floored.
It's hard to wrap your head around it. I wouldn't pass the Republicans. I think the Republicans had a break, and there are people in the Republican Party that are standing up for the American people. So they have a small minority that have happened to break in. But the Republican Party, such as Mitch McConnell, he's not a good guy. I think his election was fixed based on what I read and looked at. I can't prove it because I didn't spend the time proving it, but he was down by double digits right before the election. And then he miraculously won. And so all the same shenanigans that happened with Trump appeared to happen with him for him to win. It makes sense because he's the biggest supporter of the Democrat agenda. He talks a talk, and then when you look at his actions, he supports most of this stuff. There are a lot of rhinos. They call them rhinos, obviously, for that reason. But it's pretty bad. It's not just the Democrats, but the Democrats have been the major driving force that you can't ignore.
I think it's because, when Trump came on the scene, he really did transform American politics. He executed a hostile takeover of a country club party and made the Republicans a populist party. No one saw that coming,
sir.
And the fact that he didn't represent a party, that he really was an independent guy who just wanted it a good for America meant he didn't have a whole lot of people in waiting who could occupy key positions in government. And that's where I think his weakness showed up, because it got occupied by a lot of establishmentarians who really didn't have the interests of America, but of their own selfish greed and their special interests and the like. And then he got really done in, stabbed in the back by one official after another, right up to Bill Barr. I mean, who, my God. Here's the attorney general claiming there was no evidence of the theft of the 2020 election when he had undertaken no investigation whatsoever, and it was obvious on his face that it had been stolen.
Well, I just had an auditor come on my program. He's a CPA, and it was an auditor at a company, and he wrote a book on all this stuff. But he talked about Bill Barr, what happened. And Bill Barr put out a menu. I'm going to paraphrase because I don't remember exactly what he said was in it. But basically told them to investigate, and if there's anything that comes out that seems unusual, then you have my permission to look into it. Well, one of the members of his committee just threw a hissy fit that was wrong, we should not be doing this. And then next thing you know, there's a certain number of them that quit because we shouldn't be doing this. And so without any investigation, that's when Bill Barr came back and said they haven't found anything that shows that there was fraud or whatever, this election wasn't legit. But they didn't do anything. They did nothing for him to say, make that comment. And so it's just incredible that we're dealing with this level of, I think people are having a hard time wrapping their head around how far we've come, gone down the tyranny and the corruption in our government. They just can't see it, and it is what it is. And I think locally people are better, but they're based on, well, in Minnesota I think we have total idiots running a lot of things, and they're just activists who haven't ever actually ran anything in their life, because some of the decisions they're making are so silly and undermines basic society. So I think we have a combination of a bunch of activists, almost like children, you know, who've never grown up, who've never done anything in their life, running things, in combination with the money coming down from above, funding initiatives to gear people to where they want to go. Because you can't do it if you don't have the money behind it. And so everything goes towards where the money is flowing. And so then you have people who are activists and pretty ignorant to running or doing anything, who don't have the skills to know that they're being manipulated into doing just where the money is telling them to go. And I think it's a combination of all those things. We have a mess on our hands, but we really got to get the thinking individuals who are on all sides of the aisle to just wake up and go, okay, we have to solve these problems.
And I implore that they put so many unqualified individuals in key positions. I mean, Pete Butthead just being a perfect illustration. The guy knows nothing about transportation. I had one wit say it's because he's had a lot of rear enders, but, you know, that's just to make the point that he doesn't have any qualifications for the job, you know. And, my God, they put this woman out as press secretary because she's black and gay. I mean, she's a moron. But then again, I've never seen anyone with less brains in her head than Kamala Harris. She is complete, total, vacuous airhead. Sarah, have you seen anyone that stupid in public office, high office ever before? I mean, it's just stunning. It's breathtaking.
It's breathtaking. Well, I don't think Biden is. I think she might be ahead of Biden. I mean, I don't. That's how bad it is. I mean, I don't know. I don't. I think they're just taking orders from somebody else. I don't think they're really anything. That's the mess we're in. Because I can't imagine that they were actually somebody worked that hard to fix an election to put them in office without. Whoever was behind the globalists and the people behind the fixing of the election without them being able to direct what was going on afterward.
Yeah. Well, George Soros clearly has a heavy hand here. A lot of believe Barack Obama, Susan Rice, Valerie Jarrett are pushing the buttons and pulling the levers in Washington, D.C. these days. But it seemed to me it goes all the way back to the Rothschild who control, you know, the AP and Reuters and basically the media in the United States for the benefit of their Zionist point of view and have been endlessly promoting this war in Ukraine. What do you think is going to be the fallout now? The war is lost, Sarah. I have no doubt about it. Boycott, you know, it turns out that the Ukrainians were resorting to old men and children. They had about a four-hour lifespan on the front lines. I mean, the war, in my judgment, is over, and Ukraine lost, Russia won. How's the West going to deal with this?
Well, the West has a lot of blood on their hands, don't they? I mean, they knew what they were. This is the incompetence level. Do we believe they didn't know, or they were that incompetent? Or do we believe they didn't care and they just wanted to see what would happen? I don't know, because they should have known. Here's the deal. They should have known that Russia was going to beat them this quickly and this badly. Actually, it should have been quicker. This took a lot longer than most people thought. And it's because Russia was doing it in a more methodical way. But I'm telling you, they should have known this. And the fact that we're sacrificing those people for what? They didn't care about those people. They don't care. What were they? Were they trying to buy time to get certain assets out of there? Were they using it? This is what I think happened. They're using it to milk the United States for as much assets as they can before the whole reset goes down, so they can steal and take as much as they can while they still can. That's what I wonder is what really happened. And they don't care if the Ukrainians die in the process or how many Russians die. They don't care. Obviously, they don't care about that. It's just, why are they doing it? To facilitate going to the East quicker? I don't know. That's what they did.
They use the Minsk agreement as a cover, of course, to beef up Ukraine's military, which is another reason why it took so long. I do agree Russia was being methodical and seeking to preserve the infrastructure and bring about a minimal loss of civilian casualties. They could have been brutal and brought about an end to the conflict very, very fast. I agree with all of that.
Yeah,
but the fact
that,
is that, you know, the Ukraine is the most corrupt country in Europe, probably the most corrupt country in the world. what is the United States doing, you know, holding out Ukraine as though it were some sort of exemplar of freedom and democracy when it's a tyranny of massive degrees of corruption?
I don't know. That's the thing. I had a whistleblower on who is a banking whistleblower that talked about his banking system was the bank that they laundered all the entire Ukrainian treasury through back in 2014 when they had a coup. They took over their government. We facilitated a coup of a democratically elected president and installed our own our puppet. At that time, they stole the entire Ukrainian treasury and laundered it through this, John Christmas was his name, his company, his banking system. The World Bank and the UN and all those people were involved. It's like incredible. And so these people, are they covering up their own crime? I think there's always multiple agendas going on. You know, I think you knew I told you that I had, we had a whistleblower. You know, I've been working with John Dugan, who actually has asylum in Russia. And we had a whistleblower from Burisma. She was an account executive, a senior executive in accounting at Burisma, who was ready to go and talk about all the different stuff they had with Burisma, who the players were from a money standpoint. They found out who she was. And it's kind of a long story how they found out, but Gibson Goh was involved, who tipped them off. And they found her and sodomized her, beat her, left her for dead, took all her stuff. They went in, mercenaries went in, John Dugan and the company, he's an ex-Marine. They got her out of there and into a Russian hospital. She has two kids, but she wouldn't speak after that. And they silenced her by doing that. But she didn't have her evidence anymore either because they stole everything and ransacked everything she had, which is too bad because, you know, if I would have been able to talk to her, because I was just trying to set up a whistleblower contact and John was trying to facilitate it, we really should have gotten that information in multiple locations so that no matter what happened, the data and the information was secure. I mean, that's what we always do. We just didn't have the opportunity to do that. But she was, this is Biden's company. The corruption.
Sarah, we'll be right back with Sarah Westall right after this break.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out "And Nobody Died in Boston Either." Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
If you think for 1 second that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourselves. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. The time
is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution Radio.
It is no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. Countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
The article to which Sarah alluded, What I Have Endured, An Inside Look at Being Unburstened in America, can be found on my blog at jameshfetzer.org. It seemed to me you've been through quite a sojourn, Sarah. Would you want to sketch some of your experiences? I mean, to me, when you're simply sincerely seeking to expose the truth about some of the complex and controversial issues of our time, that you've been subjected to an awful lot of abuse.
Well, it is abuse. And the thing is that this is what they can do to anyone who goes against the government narrative. And that's why we have to push back to it. That's why I did this article, is so that people can see just how bad it is. You know, when we talk about censorship and we talk about what's happening, people need to look and see what really journalists who are trying to be journalists, what we're enduring. It seems that they're okay with those who are polarizing, even if they're telling a lot of truth, but they're polarizing, or if they're just on one topic, they will allow it. But as soon as somebody is, you know, they'll allow it to a certain extent. They'll still censor them, but not like what I endured. But there's other independent journalists who have endured like what I have endured, and that's where it's hard. At least I'm still alive. I mean, the what files were put out, the Malta journalist that put out the what was the name of the files that she put out, the papers, the Panama Papers. I think it was the Panama Papers, and she put them out in Malta that talked about the all the bankers were involved and all the fraud from 2008 and different things that were going on there, and they just took her out. I mean, journalists are attacked, and those who tell the truth and get closer to the truth, closer to powerful people, truth to power, when you speak truth to power, that's where they go after you. And that's why they went after you, Jim. I mean, they nailed you for Sandy Hook. Those things are off limits. They did almost a complete red line with that situation. They brought out people who were deep undercover to go after you as well. That was kind of weird watching that. And I know you know what I'm talking about, where there were certain undercover people who seemed super legit, and then suddenly they were after you. It was weird. So I think this is what we endure. And the only way we're going to get past this is to open this up. What Elon Musk did is really important. I don't think it's far enough, like I've said. I also think it's he selected specific journalists to do it, which I never like. I think whenever that happens, I don't trust it completely, because there's a lot of names that were listed. There's a lot more that probably occurred. They made it look almost innocent. I mean, even though it was really bad, I think it's way worse than what we were showed. And that's why it was so controlled, and they limited what we were able to see. It wasn't just a normal government agencies telling Twitter to do certain things against a narrative. I think there was almost complete government operation going on, and that's what we don't get to see. But we don't know unless we can see, and we can, you know, it's all transparent. So I could go on and on about what I've endured. I mean,
I want you to have that opportunity to give us a sketch, because, you know, most Americans just aren't in the position of seeking to convey the truth, to get it out there, and have no idea of the risks and hazards that are thereby entailed.
Well, and I don't know what I haven't, you know, is there any specific area you want me to dive into more? Because I think I don't know, you know, the Google lawsuit, which I talked about, you know, they can go and read about it when there was 15 of us that sued Google. And I have this new organization that I founded called United for Free Speech. And I do eventually want you to, we have Act 1, Act 2, Act 3. Act 1 is coming up on March 24th. I would like you to speak at one of these acts. They're every 5 weeks we're having a new, you know, conference. It's called the Censored Conference. We want to bring censored people forward, thinking individuals who are, their only goal is to bring what they believe is truthfully happen on an issue that people need to know about. And I think you fit squarely in that definition. But I founded this organization for that specific reason. We want to fund initiatives to make a difference in this front. We have to be able to open up these dialogues. We allowed our country to be, we're allowing our country to be taken over, to have, they're thinking upwards of 1 million excess deaths from this COVID crap. And we knew that the vaccine was possibly going to be a major issue. We knew there were effective treatments that they were censoring and banning. The American people didn't know there were more effective treatments that they were censoring and banning. The American people didn't know that hospitals were being paid to use treatments that weren't very effective. The American people didn't know that once you go into the hospital, you stop getting the vital nutrients you needed, vitamin D, zinc, the things that you need to keep you alive. That was happening. They weren't giving you your vital nutrients, and then not giving you proper effective protocols that they always even had for the flu. They stopped doing the flu protocols for a new set of protocols that were not effective. They co-opted our whole medical system, and hospitals were making a fortune off of that. The American people don't know these things. And that is why so many people are dying, because they hid the truth from people. And so it's not, less about me, and it's more about what this means to society when you don't allow the truth. They've weaponized the word truth, too, which is just crazy. It started with calling people truthers and making fun of them, to now weaponizing the truth and saying you can only find the truth here at our, you know, mass media channel. So they've just always spin things. And without opening this up, we will be sitting ducks. As Washington says, we'll be led silent and dumb to the slaughter. He said that for a reason, because they knew when people weren't allowed to have access to information, you are a sitting duck for a tyrant. The first thing the dictator does when they go in and take over a country is they shut down the media. and they install their own propaganda outlet of exactly what they want the people to be told when. And that's the first thing they do. And it's for a reason, because if you want to control the minds and the hearts of people, you control the media that they listen to. But it's the least developed of societies. The Renaissance was a boom of information and knowledge, because under the ruling parties at the time, you know, Queen Elizabeth was one of the most that she didn't believe in shutting down freedom of expression of your religion. Before that, there was always warring based on what religion you believe, and they said you can't control someone's mind. Let them believe what they want to. And so that started to flourish during the Renaissance, and freedom of information and art and all that stuff. That's when the printing press came. That's when society began to flourish. And they want to bring us back, and I think they pretty much have. We're very advanced technology-wise, but they want to bring us back to almost a dark ages when it comes to information and false information. This technology that they have is all-encompassing, and we will be victims. We won't even know it. Even us, who are trying so hard to get to the truth, we're going to be victims of propaganda in areas that we don't know much about. If we don't know much about it, we are ripe for propaganda. And I'm sure we're being affected too, even though we tend to be more awake in the fact that we're so highly manipulated. We're going to be affected too, because we don't know every area. We just don't know it. And even in the areas we do know a lot, unless we really get to the sources, not secondhand information, but the sources, we can be manipulated too. And so that's why it's really important. The Smith-Mundt Act that went through in 2012, that was under Obama, that one coupled with that act, let me explain what that act is. It's originally doing propaganda against the American people was not legal in this country. Now they can use taxpayer money to implement propaganda against the American people. So that, coupled with big tech monopoly on information, you know, they're partnering with the WHO, they're partnering with, you know, the WHO with Health and Human Services, they're doing all these things. Google has been. They've announced those partnerships. The two of those things together is what locked us into the situation we're in. And so we have to unwind that. And, you know, back at the time in 2012 when the Smith-Mundt Act came through, the ACLU, which was an advocate for freedom of speech, they were given $50 million by George Soros that year. And then they put out an article, a propaganda article, saying that this act will be the greatest thing for freedom of speech, to convince people that the act, the Smith-Mundt Act, the revisions to it, if you will, because the original one, I think, was put out in 47. So there was a revision to it. They put out a thing saying, the ACLU said, this is a great thing for freedom of speech. And then there was other ABC News and other news outlets talking about how this is one of the best things for freedom of speech. They had a full-blown propaganda media machine together to say, pass this. It's so good for free speech. Well, it was the exact opposite for free speech. And the ACLU has been conquered ever since, you know, 2012 when George Soros came in, gave them that money, and now they haven't been, they're a shell of what they used to be. Because they used to be a champion of free speech, and it really helped our country. But they were taken over back then. And it's really sad that our institutions that really help maintain our freedom were so easy to take over, so easy, you know, just easy targets. And we need a better way to keep these, so we're not easy targets like this. So we're working on it. I'm working on it. I know I'm working, you know, I'm working with Tom Rentz. I'm working with Cynthia McKinney. They're on the board with me on the Unite for Free Speech, trying to unite people in these causes so that we're not so easy to be targeted, and that we can actually fund initiatives that can make the biggest difference. That's what we're trying to do. So we're
excellent.
Fighting for, go ahead.
No, that's just all so excellent. Yes, yes, yes. The Smith-Mundt Act, yeah, it was originally 1948, precluded the use of the same techniques of propaganda and disinformation within the United States that were at that point only allowed to be used outside of the United States. And you're 100% correct. I mean, that was the Smith Modernization Act of 2012 was just in time to bring us Sandy Hook. It basically legitimized these phony events. And yeah, something people don't understand is these events involve hiring the whole community to be involved. Individuals are under contract. They're not allowed to break ranks. They're signed non-disclosure agreements about their participation, which makes it that much harder to sort out what really happened, particularly when you got the full power of the media there backing up the government with these perpetrated fraudful acts that are intended to manipulate public opinion, especially over the Second Amendment.
Do you remember what happened in Las Vegas where they just did that shooting? And it was just so obvious. It was a false, there's something else going on.
Yeah. It was a movie, Sarah. They used a pre-recorded soundtrack. They broadcast over the PA system, and then they had special visual effects, such as a flashing light on the fourth floor of the Mandalay Bay, and then three light flashes, you know, higher up to simulate American military weapons. Totally fraudulent. Nobody died in Las Vegas, with the possible exception of the body they had on the 32nd floor, which was just part of the script, where the prop master threw down some shell casings on top of the blood. Mind you, once you're dead, you cease firing. So there ought to have been shell casings that had blood on top of them. But where my colleague Scott Bennett, who's a former Army Intel and PsyOps officer, observed, some of the shell casings were for CO2 gas cartridges, others were for blanks. You know, they just threw down a handful of shell casing, you know, because they thought they would look good, not realizing anyone would take a closer look.
Yeah, well, Catherine Austin Fitz said they brought out the B team for the Sandy Hook situation because it was so bad. It's just unbelievable what they're willing to do. And then they did COVID. After all this, they did COVID. And they're still lying about it. They're still lying about it, which is just unbelievable because people are dying. No, people are really dying. This one, it's too bad it wasn't all just one big show. Because people are really dying in this one.
Oh, yeah, absolutely correct. Yeah, and terrible. The massiveness, the deaths are going to be staggering. We're going to have over 1 billion deaths, I have no doubt. I mean, you know, the whole idea is to reduce the world's population to something like a half a billion to serve as the serfs and slaves for the masters, ensconced in their castles. We gated communities today, but I mean, Sarah, it's really a return to medieval times where it's a primitive arrangement and they're going for it with everything. All I can say that it gratifies me is no less an authority than Jacob Rothschild declared Vladimir Putin to be an enemy of the New World Order, in that the New World Order cannot proceed without Ukraine. And therefore, assuming I'm correct, and I have every reason to believe I am, the defeat at Bakhmut really indicates that the war is lost for Ukraine. That signals a defeat for the New World Order, and I regard Vladimir Putin as a hero for all of humanity for this act on behalf of the whole world.
I think so, too. We'll see where that leads to. You know, I ask, you know, is that Vladimir Putin operating in the interest of the world and his country, which it seems like he is. I mean, just look at the actions. Or is he part of some bigger operation? And that's the bigger question, because he was part of the World Economic Forum. But I think everybody has to be at a certain point. I don't know. I don't try. I think there's always multiple agendas everywhere, but it sure looks like Vladimir Putin's in the right on this one and has done a service to the world.
That's my take as well. Absolutely, 100%. It's astonishing everything that's going on here.
It is. It's almost incredible. I shouldn't be laughing because it's just, there is no other way. It almost feels like we've been put into some kind of Twilight Zone alternative reality, and it's just not
real. Yes.
because
yes.
I know, it's just incredible what some of these things are. And if humanity just gets that, can they just get that off track through basic greed and ignorance? Can that happen with just a few real psychopaths running stuff? Is that possible? You know, because that's what we're looking at, is a bunch of ignorant, greedy people being led by, who aren't awake, they're not unaware of what they're doing, led by people who are very much aware, who are psychopathic. You know, they're just incredibly evil people. And, you know, power corrupts, absolute power corrupts absolutely, and they have a lot of money and a lot of power.
Here's a story published while we've been conversing. As Bukhmut falls, U.S. may turn from Ukraine, starting with pipeline story. If the Donbass city of Bukhmut falls to the Russians, and it's happening, the U.S. may need to save face in order to reverse course in Ukraine. And no doubt you've heard the absurd suggestion that the destruction of the Nord Stream pipeline was done by Ukraine, Sarah.
Oh,
Ukraine.
Yeah. No.
God.
I don't think people believe. Is that what the article says?
Oh, that's the suggestion that they want to try to make that argument, you know.
Yeah, whatever.
This is consorting. This is Joe Loria talking about a New York Times article of yesterday. Intelligence suggests pro-Ukrainian group sabotage pipeline, U.S. officials say, intended to exonerate the U.S. and the Ukrainian governments from the destruction of the Nord Stream. Nobody's going to believe that.
Well, that's not what the facts show. So it doesn't matter. The facts don't show it. The mass media has tried everything they possibly can to convince people that, you know, Russia's in the wrong and that Ukraine is somehow this fight bastion of freedom, that we're fighting for what's right. It's just so incredible. I had a high-level banker from Switzerland. His name was Pascal Najaji on my show this past week. It's a show that's on the front page of my website at sarahwestall.com. And he was talking about how Geneva, Switzerland, he believes Geneva, Switzerland is ahead of the snake because of the New World Order headquarters, and that Switzerland has always been this unbiased, neutral country, but they have, you know, the headquarters for the UN, the headquarters for, well, UN is also in New York, but the world, other world consuls with the United Nations, and they have the WHO, they have CERN, they have, I mean, the list goes on and on. There's about 15 different organizations that are headquartered. Even the CIA is headquartered in Geneva, Switzerland. I didn't agree with, I don't think it's all headquartered in Geneva. I think it's a combination of various places. I don't think they're that consolidated. But he makes a compelling argument. It's pretty interesting when you look at what organizations are actually headquartered there. And the reason why they did it in Switzerland is because they're able to create laws and such so that Switzerland can maintain this neutral, you know, they always said they were a neutral country. Well, no, they were just really friendly to laws so that they could set up their New World Order system. But what's really interesting is what Corey Diggs has been working on. She has a new report, and I'm going to have her speak at ACT 2. I think she's not going to be done yet for March, but she's going to come in the next set and talk about her findings and all the immunity clauses and treaties that have, it's like what they're trying to do with the World Health Organization, but they've done it with so many different nonprofits and organizations, NGOs around the world, and almost to a point where they've cornered the world on this globalist tactic or this globalist takeover, where all these different organizations have immunity. They operate above the law. And she is laying this all out so people can see what these treaties and these agreements have allowed these organizations to do. Like Gavi is one of them. You know, Gates' vaccine organization. And how they operate above the law with immunity. And how they're able to get away with all this stuff. So these countries have these laws we put, our Congress is putting, allowing, enabling these organizations to have immunity. They can operate and do whatever they want. It's like Section 230 for big tech companies. They can do whatever the heck they want. Well, we think it's being interpreted improperly, and we need to show this is not the original intent of this law, so that all big companies or all big tech can do anything they want. They can steal. They can support child pornography. They can do whatever they want with immunity. No, that's not okay, and we're going to go after that. And that's one of the initiatives that we have. But they have a whole network of these things. And that's what they've been put in place. It's kind of like our PrEP Act, where they put the PrEP Act through Congress before COVID started, 2016 it went through. And it was giving all these vaccine companies immunity if there was ever a pandemic, that the government could spend as much money as they wanted, and the vaccine companies wouldn't be held liable for any problems that occurred. That's in the PrEP Act. So they know what they're doing. And then the idiots, the useful idiots that are around them, are either too incompetent, because that's what you're showing is they're playing. That's what with Buttigieg and other people, they put in incompetent people who don't know enough to push back. And then they're given all these privileges and are just really happy with themselves. They feel like they're special. And so they're just incompetent and not able to protect the American people, while these people have free rein to set up all these immunity clauses and all these treaties and all these things that allow them to operate above the law. That's what
Sarah, well, I was about to open the line for callers, 540-352-4452, 540-352-4452. One of our regulars is here on the line already. Paul, join the conversation.
Yeah, boy, so much has been said. I kept hearing sentences and statements that I wanted to react to immediately, and then those were put in the rearview mirror as more and more things were said. Sarah made a comment about it's like we're in a Twilight Zone episode. I think that's pretty accurate. There's a lot of confusion. You know, in past times it could be called the fog of war, but I don't think anybody really has a solid handle on down to the minutest detail about what's occurring. But I think the bigger picture is fairly clear. And I don't believe Putin in any way is a, quote, a good guy, like you're talking about.
Well, we'll pick up with those thoughts right after this break. We'll be right back with Paul.
Radio at freedomslips.com, and we'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it, that the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes, that Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Oh, you're making the case that Putin is not a good guy, contrary to Sarah and Mai's intimation that he is. Go ahead.
Well, I think it's pretty clear that what's going to occur is what has already been occurring in most Western nations. Okay. When she made the comment about the Twilight Zone and all that, I flashed on an image I saw on the internet years ago. It was one of those kind of spinning like a pinwheel, like a vibrating pinwheel, kind of like when you look at it, it hurts your eyes, you know, like, and so it was this spinning, vibrating pinwheel behind the happy merchant rubbing his hands together, you know, the caricature Jewish meme of the happy merchant. And the one panel meme said, the Jewing intensifies. Okay, because what the Jewing is first, we're going to destroy your country morally, politically. We're going to get rid of your economy, your infrastructure, your factories, and then we're going to Kalergi plan you with all these non-whites and other foreigners that aren't you. Aren't your biology, aren't your DNA, or not your culture. And we're going to call it great. We're going to say it's progress. We're going to say it's globalism. Meanwhile, you're being destroyed. Ukraine is being destroyed by the Jews. There's no doubt about it. This thing is a funded operation, right? Plenty of money is being made available for this destruction. Jim, you've already covered, like many other people have covered, that you know BlackRock and these other Jewish capital firms are going to come in and rebuild, right? Millions upon millions of Ukrainians have already left and are likely not to come back. Ukrainian was an overwhelmingly white country, and it had a much higher percentage of Aryans than Slavs. In fact, the difference between Slavic people and Aryan people is quite distinct and clear when you look at and study the faces, and you also can see what kind of countries they make. The advanced countries of the West were most exclusively Aryan. Germany, France, Italy, England, Holland, Scandinavia. These are large majority Aryan people. Slavic people are, you know, of course, they're white, but they're not the same as Aryan people. And going back hundreds of years, historically, they were backwards compared to, quote, the West. So what they're doing here, and Ukraine was filled with a lot of Germanic people as well, because under the czars, he brought in the Germans to develop it agriculturally. You know, they were called kulaks, and of course they reproduced and they intermixed with the local Ukrainian people. So what's occurring now is they're just going to remake Ukraine. People say it's going to be Israel 2.0. I don't know, you know, perhaps, but you can be sure that they're going to, quote, diversify Ukraine, and whatever Ukraine used to be will be no more. So I don't know how that's heroic. And I don't believe for a minute that Putin does not know what the score is. Putin, of course, is a Slav. I believe he's a Slavic with Jewish admixture. There's tremendous amount of testimony online about his lineage and on his grandmother's side. And, you know, whether or not that's true or not, it's less important than the fact that he's cooperating with Jewish financiers and Jewish oligarchs. He's one of the wealthiest men in the world. You know, he didn't earn his money, right? He wasn't like a businessman, okay? He was not like, you know, Bill Gates or Elon Musk, because that's a different story altogether. But here's an extremely wealthy man, okay, Putin, who has property in Tel Aviv, by the way. And I think he's cooperating with the New World Order. So none of this is a good thing. And, of course, the sad thing is hundreds of thousands of people are dying in the war. I don't know how many. We can't trust any figures they tell us. But that's less important, in my opinion, even though it's tragic as it is that all this young male DNA will be no more. But millions upon millions, the estimates now I've heard are like 8 million or so Ukrainians have left, have fled. And, you know, it's only a country of, you know, what, approximately 40 million, I believe. And so we know what's coming next. They're going to, you know, continue this diversification and Kalergi plan of the Ukraine. And it's going to be, of course, a welcome haven for all sorts of Jews who want to come there, because we don't really know for sure how much longer Israel is going to be viable over there in the Middle East. Right. It's a very small country surrounded by many hostile other countries that are outbreeding them. And I think that historically they do want to make they know that it what used to be Khazaria, and they feel it was theirs. And the only way that they can get it to happen is to have us cooperate and spill our blood for them as usual.
Well, it's a Khazarian. So you're making the argument that it's a Khazarian mafia, which is, I've done some pretty deep shows on the Khazarian mafia. I don't like to call them Jews as much as the Khazarian mafia, in the sense that a lot of Jews have been victims of all this stuff, and they hide behind that. And a lot of the Khazarian mafia hide behind many other religions as well. But, you know, they were forced to be called to take on a religion, and they took on the Jewish religion. And
since that, I don't believe that narrative for a second. I think that that's been thoroughly debunked.
This historical
narrative that these people were given a choice and they just chose Judaism, that, in my opinion, is a lie, but it's certainly been debunked. These people are racially cohesive. Yes, there's admixture, but to say they're Khazarians is the same as to say they're globalists or communists or any other conceptual term. They are racially a biological species, and they have exhibited behavior traits going back centuries. Centuries and centuries, okay? They're Jews. That's who they are. There's different types of Jews, but we know well who they are, and I know you do too, Jim. Okay, go ahead.
Well, listen, Sarah's not going to be familiar with the strength of your opinion about these matters, Paul. Let me bring in Brian. Brian, offer your thoughts here, and then we'll get more from Sarah. Brian.
Well, I ran into an interesting article by Nathaniel Rothschild a few days ago to the members of the British government. And it was really interesting because he said Putin is the most dangerous man since Hitler. And number two in the world is Xi Jinping, whatever his name is, a Chinese leader. And he said in the letter, Ukraine is an essential piece we cannot afford to lose on the geopolitical chessboard. We must bring Russia to its knees through any means possible to send a strong message to China and protect our global system of norms and liberal values. He said, our current path means that our global order is dead on its feet. without Ukraine, our global order may not survive. So that was at Prepare for Danger.
Of course, I like all that. I mean, that's completely consistent with what I was suggesting. Sarah, your further thoughts.
Well, that's what they, I think that's their base. I think what Paul, the one before that, I must have hit a big time nerve with him on that one. I think that the Khazarian, Khazar, that's their base, and they want that back. So I think the New World Order, I think it would go against their, what their long-term agenda is, which is to control that. But I also think that anything they put out publicly to like that is more of what they want us to think for a bigger plan that they're doing. So I don't know. We also think that they want to take over the power of the East, and they want to implement technocracy, and China's a testing ground for all of that. China is, the people of China are more conditioned to be controlled under technocracy more than we are. We're conditioned to be free, and the people of China are conditioned to work as a unit and to do what they're told. And so that's why right. they're a better place to move to. That's at least what they've said.
They're,
I don't know if I believe anything that they say.
What you're referring to is what's been called the Eurasian shift. And I think that that's pretty valid. Mike Sledge, among others, has brought this up on many shows where the decision has already been made to essentially abandon the West or wreck the West and shift to Russia and China. Now, this war is not doing Russia really any favors. And, of course, it's the Jews' favorite thing to get, you know, Gentiles to kill each other. So you have, you know, basically Russians killing Ukrainians and Ukrainians killing Russians, and that's all fine by them. But, you know, when you look at, you know, historically what the aim of these people has always been and what their reputation, which precedes them, this is not by mere years or decades, right? I mean, just read what Martin Luther wrote about these people, okay? If you're not familiar with Martin Luther's book, Sarah, I suggest you get familiar with it. It's called The Jews and Their Lies, right? In the 1500s. And, of course, you can continue all the way back long before that. So these people have demonstrated a very robust, shall we say, nature, okay? They've been known as nation wreckers, culture destroyers, poisoners, right? Mankind's eternal enemy. Think about that. What would you have to be? Who would you have to be to earn that moniker of mankind's eternal enemy? And I would also suggest, Sarah, just for the fun, because Jim, you said she's not going to be familiar with the kind of things I'm making. Well, the literature is out there, and a lot of the literature comes from National Socialist Germany.
Who's talking right now? Do we have two people on the line? Paul. Okay, and then the other
Brian,
came
Brian
on.
Was. Yeah, Brian
he
was
left?
Previously. Now,
okay,
I don't know.
I'm here. I'm just listening.
Right.
Okay.
But there's a great publication I just read at length on Renegade Tribune, and it was from 1943-44, and it was called The Jew as World Parasite. And when you read that,
I'm not here's the deal.
I don't care what
not,
you're uncomfortable about. I'm telling you the truth. You need to get comfortable with the facts.
Paul, just read. Paul, don't be rude.
Well, I'm trying to
explain to my guests. We know. I mean, the point I was making is Sarah wouldn't be familiar with your Paul's strength of conviction about these issues and how strongly you're going to argue your case.
I'm bringing to bear material, which you can read yourself.
Hold on, you sound like my dad, who I argue with all the time, who I don't agree with at all. On a very many things, because he won't listen to others. He just has his own opinion.
What is it you have to say that you want to listen to?
Listen, Paul, let her speak.
The reason I like to say Khazarian Mafia, and say it was debunked, I'm not certain that that's true, but the reason I like to say that is because I don't believe all Jews, and I don't like this. Just
for God's sake, Jim.
Hold on.
No, Paul, I may be
the minute somebody says all Jews,
It's come just, on, Paul. Come on. Come
well,
on.
Can I explain? Just let me explain to her and to
just
you,
like
so we can be done with this.
Bad.
Not all,
all
argument.
All whites aren't neocons.
See, this
all
this is ridiculous, Sarah.
This.
How
I think
old are you?
Specific mafia.
How old are you?
Come on,
are you older
Paul.
Than 12 years
Paul,
old?
I'm,
Paul.
Jim, I'm
Paul.
Not gonna. I think it's bad.
Listen,
to,
can
to,
I just
to,
make the fucking point so we don't have to hear this? It's a waste of time to talk about not all. Yeah,
not
all dogs
Jews.
Bite you. Yeah, it's
not
a,
all
it,
Jews
it's
are
an
like
absurd,
this.
Infantile point, and every person that has anything to say makes the not all argument. I'm sick of it.
Because
I've heard
true.
It everywhere. I've been
it's
hearing
true.
It for years.
Then you just soak it in. Soak it in,
it's stupid.
It's true.
It's a
Paul.
Stupid,
soak
childish
in.
Argument. Not all. It doesn't need
soak
to be
it
articulated.
In. It's true. It's not all.
You're a child.
Maybe
for
you
God's
are, because you won't listen
yeah,
to other
of
people.
Course. Not
it's
all,
not all people. It's not
stop
all. It's a stereotypical
a
argument you're making. It's not all, period.
Yeah.
That's why we
this
distinguish
is,
a difference.
It's not the first time Paul and I have crossed swords about these issues and others where...
It's okay.
He's just he's very, very strong in his opinion and very intolerant of those who disagree with him. Brian, let me
That's
bring
fine.
You back in, Brian. Yeah, go ahead, yeah. Brian. Give me more, Brian.
I'll put things on I'll lighten things up, okay? The age of the Kali Yuga was supposed to end December 21st of 2012, and at that time... The light, the spirit, Holy Spirit, you can call it quantum mechanical energy, whatever you want to call it, started flooding in here from the central sun of our galaxy. And it's here till August of 2025. And everything we're seeing is a result of that. And we're going to shift to the age of Aquarius. That's what they're trying to prevent, because when we make this shift, it's all over the universe. They're done. They're toast, and they're doing everything to avoid Judgment Day, and everything that we've been seeing. The reason they're so exposed, having so many problems, people can see who they are. They're doing stupid things. Is that light continues to build, and next year it'll be even more powerful. So it's all going to end for him. So I got to go.
Yeah, Brian, yeah, take care of yourself, my friend. Catch your breath and relax. I'm glad you called in. I thought your point was impeccable. Sarah, go
I like
ahead.
Brian's
we gotta...
comment. I think that was great. I think that's what a lot, I mean, the energy is shifting. We definitely see a shift in energy, and I really hope that is right. I have a lot of people that I've talked to and I converse with that we talk about the energy in the universe is shifting, and it has to do with where the alignment of the planets and things. I hope that's right. I don't know if it is, but I sure see a change in what's happening in the world. And gosh, that would be an amazing that we need that. That's we need that enlightenment, that new age to come in, and it feels wonderful. We're going through a lot of pain to get there.
Yeah. Why don't you go ahead and reiterate the point you were seeking to make that Paul was objecting to so strenuously? I mean, Sarah, I've made that point with Paul many times. He's a regular caller to the show. He probably has more airtime than any other caller I've ever featured in all my radio history. So... I don't feel he's being shortchanged by not, you know.
It's okay. He reminds me of my dad, like I said, and I love my dad. And so I don't mind people who argue with me. I just think once they get angry, they can't, they stop being able to think about anything. And it doesn't matter. They're right no matter what. I'm very familiar with that kind of personality. But I think it's important that we, this is something I really think is important, because I think what leads to mass slaughter is when you say that one group is something, like everyone
yeah.
is something. And that diminishes those people to be below human, below you. And then so you won't have any...
Sure.
It's to unleash some real, real bad behavior. And so I think it's really important. The reason why I like the Caesarea Mafia angle and what is to be very specific. It's like these are specific people. They, most of them happen to be Jew, but not all Jews are this. And that the we're calling them Caesarea Mafia because some of the Caesarea Mafia act like Christians, like Hillary Clinton and other people who we know are part of that ilk. And they're all bad. They're globalist evildoers. And we can put them in a group and we can identify their behavior. Thing is, there are, and this is why I say not all Jews, because there's Jewish people who have done amazingly good work, like Vera Sharif, who I brought up, who's been working overtime to try to educate people on what happened, you know, how a society can do what it did, you know, like with COVID. And she's a Jewish person who happened to be a victim of the Holocaust. She escaped that. I don't for a minute believe that she's just some plant trying to educate us, because what she's trying to do and what she's saying is really informative and it can really help humanity. So I just can't, when I see there's so many, Dr. Zelenko was another man. I interviewed him a lot. He was trying to help people. He put his life on the line. He's a Jewish person. And so I think there's a lot of Jewish people like that. Naomi Wolf is doing great work. She's Jewish. And I that's why it's important to separate the Caesarea Mafia, Sarah, from Jewish, being Jewish.
Sarah, I agree with you 100%. And, you know, I seek to qualify Paul's points, but he's not amenable to qualification. And it to me, is becoming stereotypical, you know, to talk in these broad racial categories, even though he would argue that historically there's a vindication for his allusions to the Jews. But I tend to side with you on this matter. I mean, you know, Paul doesn't like it, but I mean, you know.
Yeah. Not be careful because we're not afraid to say the truth. That's not the good. Look what you did with Sandy Hook. You're not afraid to say the truth. I've been censored and shut down everywhere. It's not because I'm afraid to say the truth, because I think that is a very harmful thing to do, to categorize people as below human as a whole group. And you can't say they're not below human, but that's essentially what you do in the mindset of people. And then you end up creating a mass. That could turn into mass slaughter, and it has in the past. Or they use it. I actually think the Caesarean Mafia used it against the people to kill some of their rivals, I think, who happen to be Jew. They want to get the, you know, the Gentile Jews, the people who are innocent Jews, out of their way.
Yeah. Well, Paul has a case against Putin. I mean, I'm glad for him to come on and make his arguments.
He does have a case there, though, because you don't know.
Yeah, I'm not. I believe Putin's going to go down in the books as a good guy, a very good guy. But of course, I mean, we shall see how all this plays out. I believe all of his actions in relation to Ukraine were wholly justified, 100%, and that the United States and the West have totally discredited themselves, shown to be in bad faith. You know, made fake agreements under duplicitous circumstances and have largely discredited ourselves. I don't believe there's any basis for Russia to have any faith whatsoever in any agreement that might ever be extended by the West again into the future. I mean, as far as one could see, we've discredited ourselves, Sarah, sad to say.
We were just wrong. We're in the wrong on so many levels. Not that Putin hasn't been shown to do some pretty bad things internal to his country and maybe elsewhere, but he is not in the wrong when it comes to Ukraine. What's happening in Ukraine, we are seriously at fault here. And anybody who's willing to get past the mass media and this blanket of propaganda and actually look at the facts, I don't know how you can come out at least saying, at least at minimal, that we are supporting some pretty ugly behavior.
Oh, God, yes. Absolutely no doubt about it. including child trafficking, organ trafficking, you know, I mean, all that kind of stuff, the bio labs, all this horrendous stuff.
The Ukrainian embassy was used as a laundering facility for babies so they could be trafficked.
How bad is that?
I know.
Well, Sarah, you're doing a great job. I'm so glad you could join me today. And I want to, you know, I encourage you to keep up all the good work. I know you will. You're persevering. You mentioned Naomi Wolf. I think she's sensational. So I think that's just terrific you had that opportunity to.
Well, I interviewed her before COVID, you know, BC, and then after COVID. And she's come a long way mentally. She's just on, she's... I'm proud of her, the fact that she's been able to evolve past her own tribe to look at the truth. And it's been painful. It's been painful for her.
Yeah. I think you're right. I think that's all exactly right. Give us some final thoughts where everyone can find more of your work, Sarah, and so forth, and if they want to contribute to your cause, how they could do that.
Yeah, please go to sarahwestall.com. You can subscribe to my newsletter. You can watch all my shows. You can also go to UnitedForFreeSpeech.com, and you can see the censored conference that's coming up. And, Jim, you need to speak at one of these. And the first one, we're kind of taking it slowly as they're trying to figure everything out. I told you about it right when we started. Sure. But go to UnitedForFreeSpeech.com and you can learn about that. But go to SarahWestall.com and follow my work. I have articles. I have so much stuff I put up there all the time. And I appreciate everyone who supports my work and follows me and gives me information. And I just, you know, this is a kind of almost a long, lonely battle, as you know. And it's incredible. But I'm in it.
Right,
I'm not going to stop fighting.
Yeah, well, you let me know if you can use me at one of your conferences. That would be my great pleasure, just as I've been delighted to feature you at my False Flags and Conspiracies conference. And, you know, really value your contribution, just as I have having you here today, Sarah. It's just been a delight.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. And I just appreciate the fact that you have the courage to stand with what you believe. That's what, and you keep trying to put the truth out there. That's hard to do in today's world. So thank you so much for everything that you do too.
That's what it's all about, Sarah. Thank you so much for being here. Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal. Thank you for being here too. Spend as much time as you can with your friends, your family, your people you care about. We do not know how much time we have left.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven. Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyal? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty! Oh, give me!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence and